Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Hello everyone, it's the Mache and Pajak podcast. I am Mache, that is Pajak. Welcome along. No guests this week, I mean...
Just the two of us.
Yeah, well, as it should be. We had a few people saying initially, you know, we want you guys. Well, you get your wish. We couldn't really top Jamie Carragher last week, so we haven't tried. So we haven't even tried.
You can't fail if you don't try.
We've got some more people lined up for the coming weeks, but we thought it was a nice little time to catch up and do...
And we hadn't booked a guest.
That's also just the coronavirus has just fucked it all, hasn't it? Absolutely. Fucked it all. And the worst thing is because we're pre-recording this, like, one of us might be dead by the time this comes out,
hopefully,
Chris.
Hopefully.
So. It's not very nice.
I know, but...
In a world where you can be anything, Chris, don't be a cunt.
Be kind.
Be less of a cunt.
Okay. But, you know, in a world where one of us dies, it's you.
It's likely to be the older one, though, isn't it?
Yeah, no.
And bearing in mind that you're 39 next year.
I am exactly 1 month older.
39
than
next year was I'm
coronavirus doesn't
next
give
year.
A shit. You don't taste sweeter for being a month younger.
Who would you say is the genetically weaker of the two of us?
Me.
Okay, so no further comment, Your Honour.
But I'm also hardy.
Oh, you are. Well, you've got this levels of Polish resistance. I've got a bit of Irish in me, which gives me a bit of that, like. But yeah, the Poles are largely unkillable. Yeah, absolutely. So let's dive into it. We're going to do some of the deepest, darkest confessions of the internet in a little bit, including perhaps one or two of our own along the way. Stay tuned because it's going to be good fun. But we're going to dive in with the Purge.
The Purge.
Do you want to kick it off?
Yeah, so I'm taking a leaf out of Jamie Webster's book and I'm purging something from the car because I realised that as soon as he started speaking the other week, that is a major gripe in my life at the moment, like other drivers and just other people in general, really.
Just hate the general public.
They manifest themselves when I'm on the road a lot more. And what probably my biggest after maybe or... yeah, as a percentage, I'm saying this annoys me more than anything else because you don't see it very often. Mm-hmm. It's people who drive down a one-way street and then pull to the left at the end to turn right. So it happens, right? It's niche. Don't get me wrong. I understand that it's fucking niche, yeah. Paul.
It's not something that crops up often, but
no,
when it does.
No, but when you are in control of a vehicle, you should know the rules of the fucking road. And... So I always cut through. I don't like to go the normal ways. There's how the crow flies, and there's
the most direct way, and there's the quickest way, and then there's the Chris Pajak way.
Exactly, and I learned it off my dad. You know what I mean? My dad drives exactly like me, or I drive exactly like my dad. We're both impatient as fuck.
This is why
it annoys me so much.
Yeah.
So I always drive down this one way street by Mossbits. Coming down from sort of King David, and every time at the fucking end of the road, there's a person who's on the left-hand side trying to turn right. If you were just on the right side of the road, because no one can fucking go there, and turned right, I could go fucking left and carry on with my day. But you're a thick cunt, and you have to get on the wrong side of the fucking road and block me off. And now this is my shortcut. Go away, you bad tit.
This is like life hacks, isn't it? This could be saving you on average 10 seconds a day.
Exactly.
Which cumulatively speaking adds up to about a minute extra life.
Exactly.
That's what would you do with your extra
They're
minute?
Killing me. slowly.
No, the thing that I thought you were going to say, because the thing that often gets me is that people don't, the way people pull out to turn,
they're turning
a fucking 18 wheeler.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? you're
mad.
Yeah.
You're in a fucking micro.
Hold on, everyone. Hold on and put our hands off the side. Wait a second. I have to make a very slight turn and an edge out and round the corner and in. Horseshit. Absolute horseshit, yeah. No, I do. And I look, as with all good things, you know, I'm guilty of hypocrisy. I'm sure I've done that. I can't drive my car to save... I've never been a bad driver. I'm not saying I'm a fucking brilliant driver.
You are now an assisted driver, though.
Absolutely. So, like, this is the thing... My car's got lots of bells and whistles on it that I'm not used to, but I've become very accustomed to all of a sudden. And I remember this, because this comes back to our confessions, but I'll get it out the way early. I crashed into a car in a supermarket car park once because I was reversing and it had parking sensors. Beep, 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 and I was so accustomed to it that I don't look behind me because I know if something's approaching and it beeps, I'll stop. What I discovered that day is if your handbrake's still on, the parking sensor doesn't engage, so I just drove backwards into a car. I went, boom, what the fuck? Oh, shit. And I had to absolutely bail out of that car park. But no, because my car's, I've got an estate and it's a big one as well, it's dead long. And I'm just about to become terrible at driving.
Did I ever tell you about the time I crashed into a car fairly close to my mum and dad's house?
Okay. No, so, I've been in a car crash with you before.
Yeah, that was a funny one. Was that the one with Jerome and Mark? Yeah. Okay, we'll talk about that later. We can bring that one up. This was one where I crashed into a car that was stationary. As I think I was trying to park or I was pulling out. Anyway, I got caught by the old bitch who fucking run the fruit and veg shop, and she fucking dobbed on me. Right. So there's
fucking hell. I'm gonna go out on this tonight.
So they ended up looking for me, and I'm trying to think what I can say here and what I can't say. So in the end, what me and my brother decided, because we weren't of a perfect equilibrium within our brain.
Okay.
Right.
Perhaps were you slightly
less pebbled
100%. you weren't operating at 100% capacity right now.
So we weren't operating at 100% capacity. We were pebbled. So we went home and it had a big fucking black line down my car, by the way, at this point. And we were like, what are we gonna do? I don't know, because we'd record the neighbours while we went to the shop for supplies. So we watched neighbours while we decided what to do. And then there was a knock on the door. Someone said to them, can't have been us. We watched neighbours. We were watching neighbours at that time because no one would think you'd record neighbours.
Perfect. Absolutely perfect. Yeah. Perfect alibi. Is that a Sky Plus box I see underneath your television? Is it a what? Fantastic. That's absolutely fantastic. I'm happy for that. I'm happy for you, Paige. I'm happy for the continued page of that. People who can't drive and car assistance systems. It's making us all worse. Like, it's making us all worse at everything. Like, you got an automatic.
Oh, yeah, I love it.
And it's automatics and amazing.
It's just a big go-kart. It's got a go-pedal and
stuff. But it's everything about it. But it's life all over, isn't it? Is that the easier things get, the lower the bar. It's fine. We learned how to drive. We passed our driving test. But people who pass the driving test only on automatics, that's a big warning sign for me. That's a big fucking red flag. I don't think you should be allowed to drive an automatic unless you've passed the... It's like a reward for me.
So no Americans on the road?
No. Think about how much that would have saved the environment. The amount of morons you'd take off the roads.
It's true.
If you stop people... There was a lad that I remember in our school who did that, who failed the test so many times he had to go and learn an automatic. Mate, it's just not meant to be. It's just not meant to be. Because... Yeah, it's a challenge. It's meant to be difficult. Cars are like, if a car was like a fucking robot suit, you wouldn't be, not everyone would be able to have them because everyone would recognise them as lethal killing machines. Yeah. Whereas, which is what they are. There are tons of motorised death.
That's going at a huge speed. Yeah. Down the road, yeah. Controlled by idiots.
If it had arms and lasers, they'd be like, whoa, 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 I'm sorry, you need to be like 25 years old and military trained in order to operate one of these things. Which we're like,
hey!
Little fucking Jesse from the fucking, you know, whose mum and dad have just got enough money to buy him whatever car he wants.
I remember just as I'd passed me test, so I was 17 at the time, and I just got into my granddad's car. My granddad gave me his car, and I got into that, and I was so happy. I was driving down my road for the first time. I think I might have had my brother in the car, actually. And I saw people I used to go to school with and I'd not seen since I was, like, fucking 11, really, or hung out with. And they saw, and I was so, like, fucking Billy Big Balls in this proper shit car that I was, like, looking out the window and smiling and then fucking banked the curb because I wasn't concentrating and I wasn't a good driver. So to hide my shame, I continued to drive down the fucking pavement
for
200 metres, like I meant to.
Singing
like
the 18 theme fucking music.
Da, 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 the fucking da, da, B-Reg Astra.
Yeah. It's true, isn't it? I think, yeah, the barrier to entry should be much higher in all of these things. And that's the point. Don't get me wrong, I'm not looking forward to it. If I had to retake my driving test now, I'd fail it. Because I've got so many bad habits that I've picked up, but I've earned the right to have those bad habits. But no, driving cars, yeah, it's made it far too easy. Like having a rear camera, but it's made me more nervous about everything because I don't trust watching a fucking screen. So it's just, yeah, it's a nightmare. My purge this week, it sounds like I was purging that, but I'm not. Maybe I am. Let me know if I can purge that twice, if I can have two purges in the comments.
You can, sure.
Yeah, why not? I hinted at this one last week, but I never got to fully form it. And it's my inability to relax.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and I said, I used to spend so much time doing fuck all. Like, I'd stay up till 3 in the morning.
It was legendary, Paul. Yeah. Everyone in your life knew it.
Stay up till 3 in the morning, and I used to wake up. Like, I used to sleep in my work uniform, and I would wake up, because I lived about 50 steps away from the pub I worked in. And so I would sleep until 10 minutes before my shift started. I'd get out of bed, I'd maybe throw some water on my face, maybe, and I'd walk in and I'd work from five at night till midnight or whatever, and then start again. No, honestly, this is why I have a lot of time for talk. Bearing in mind, though, I was 19 years old when at this point. I wasn't 25. He's not in. And he hates us so much, he's never watching more content, so we're in. It was what it was. It's, you know, days off, I was a master of days off. I'd play computer games and I'd do whatever. I'd go to movies, go to flicks on my own, whatever. I'll go to the pub, have a few beverages, read some comics, great, just relax. I was good at relaxing. I am terrible at relaxing. I can't relax anymore. I can't switch off. And it's probably because I have such deep rooted shame and guilt from the amount of time that I wasted doing nothing with my life. But I have a day off now. What are you meant to do with a day off? Someone says to you, right, you've got 24 hours off. Unless I pre-plan something, I don't enjoy it. It is insane, because all I ever want is time off to recuperate from being a parent and being at work and all the emotional stresses and strains and physical stresses and strains that go with that. And if I have a day off, I can't.
I had a week off only a few weeks ago, and I reckon there was 2 hours where I did nothing in an entire week off.
Yeah.
Where I pretty much just sat still for 2 hours and really enjoyed it. Like, I didn't, because I get really fucking bored of computer games. I like them and I enjoy them, but they don't hold my attention for very long.
Yeah.
So I might get an hour or two out of it, and then that will do me for a couple of weeks or whatever, unless I'm proper into it. Like, I got into Civ 6 big time. Like,
and how many times did you lose feeling in your feet playing Zelda on the bog?
Loads. Loads. It's mad, that, isn't it? You realise that you're not supposed to poo like that. You're not. It's not a natural position to poo. If you want to poo naturally...
Okay, go on.
I think...
Just for the butter game.
Where you're supposed to do that.
Oh, This
and
is...
Your body's supposed to be down a bit more. Well, this is a natural position.
Yeah. Because, I mean, right, like, if your feet fell asleep every time you had a shit, then you get killed by predators or whatever.
Yeah, bats and shit.
Bats. Bats.
Back you with the coronavirus.
Yeah, absolutely. Is that what I've always wondered, and people maybe from other countries watching
the French hole.
Yeah, the hole, the toilet was just holes. Do people genuinely have poos in them?
Yeah.
Because you've got
you don't get as many nowadays. The Western toilet has taken over time.
Because I understand, sort of, understand. It's very difficult.
Do you carry a funnel round if you're a bird?
Well, maybe, but birds are more used to the squat kind of thing. I mean, I know there's a lot of spread that comes with it, but a spread spray pattern. But
do they learn this? Because, like, you know, my daughters, you know, you, as a parent, you do see them wee, and one of my daughters, she could not get in a hole, let's just put it like that.
Well, like do you determine the size of the hole? Because I get it, but it's a challenge. I mean, men like a challenge, don't they, when they're weeing?
Yeah. Oh, you put a fucking football in the urinal. Give us a target. You guarantee our aim's sorted.
Give us a target.
I'm not missing. I'm battering the shit out of that football for a good minute.
I had a thing in the pub, because I used to drink in this pub so often that I used the toilets quite a lot. I called Piss Olympics, and it was how many different ways you could contort yourself whilst having a wee without pissing on yourself.
Interesting.
Yeah,
I will try
just to make the piss more interesting. So, like, kind of like, so again, you kind of stand up, and can you get like a can you like touch your foot?
Wow, while you're still streaming.
Without pissing on yourself. And the answer is
No.
There's lots of things you can do and many that you can't. But ultimately, when you get to later in the night, you care not if you fail.
Did you ever play Garden Olympics?
What?
Garden Olympics.
Did you say Gargle Olympics? No. I was like, that's a niche born of moment.
That's a different
then, isn't
thing.
It?
Yes. Garden Olympics.
Garden Olympics. In yours?
Well, it was Phil Quirks we used to play in on Just the Rose. He wouldn't have played it with us. So when you used to, did you used to stay out in your garden in like a tent or something like that when you were like 10, 11, 12, something like that? No.
No.
Okay, so we used to play Garden Olympics because there was a run just from Phil's house where there was probably five gardens with the half-size fences.
A bit Shaun of the Dead.
Exactly, yeah. Like that, but 10 years before, like, you know, obviously, what I mean?
Yeah. So we and your face, Edgar Wright.
We used to do the fucking hurdles, and then there was one where it was a tall fence, and we attempted the high jump and failed the high jump. Big fences, little people, didn't work. What we did do was hit the fence very hard. Which put me in good stead for running into the bus stop.
Yeah, this is another story for another time. We played footy tennis, and once hit my neighbour in the head with a footy, which was great. I mean, we then hit the deck to hide, but what did we think that was going to accomplish? Where did we think Chief thought the ball had come from? It had come from us, who were stood up next to her, 2 meters away from her, you know, 30 seconds earlier. Anyway, yes.
You were purging.
Do people really poo in those little holes? Let us know in the comments below. I was purging time off. Yeah, I can't do it. I need to have that structure. I had it once the other day where, because it's, your kids come home and it's not like the day's gone by where you get a full day, you get a full 24 hours to yourself. You don't. There's a ticking clock of anxiety.
Yeah, it's of like when you used to work nights or like late to work, you'd get up and you'd be like,
I've got
4 hours. Yeah. 3 hours and 59 minutes, and you'd spend 4 hours looking at your watch every fucking minute.
Horrendous. Horrendous.
And that's what it's like for you and your kids coming home?
No, but yeah, horrendous. But it's true, but you do, because you do, and every time you do something, it's like, it's a feature on time-based strategy games. So like XCOM, for example, where you've got a certain amount of time units in turn-based strategy. The new Prez Master League's got this of like, if you want to conduct business on transfer deadline day, each transfer takes an hour and you've got 12 hours. And that's, I look at it, it's like, I can do this, but it's good. I watch a movie. Well, that's 2 hours. Hang on a second. Might be 2.5 hours, you know, if it's a long film. Well, I'll watch 2 episodes of a TV series, but I'll get to 2 episodes, and what if it's a fucking boss one? You want to watch 3 and then you can't. Or you play a computer game all day. And, like, for example, you play a footy one. What happens if you lose your last game?
Yeah, you can't.
You've fucking ruined your whole day. You've ruined your whole day off. You can play footy manager.
They just have to wait in the porch.
It's that thing of you come to the end. It's then fearing how you're going to feel at the end of the day. Do you feel like you've actually had a good day off or whatever, and you don't? So instead, it's like that famous tweet about when you're trying to decide what to do overnight and what pick a movie, and you'll sit next to each other and you'll flick through all of Netflix and you'll flick through all of Amazon Prime and you'll flick through all of LTV or whatever, and then what will you do? You'll pick a shit series that you've watched 50 times and just watch 5 episodes of that instead, and it completely pissed your whole night away.
Or even worse, you've spent the whole night flicking and then you're tired and go to bed.
And you just go on, or you'll end up on Facebook pissing time away. And I get really, like, for someone who's not, like, you're a man riddled with obsessive compulsive behaviours, and I haven't generally speaking have not been. But it's weird. In recent years, I've become weirdly competitive, which I never was, and I've become anxiously obsessive about how I recharge my batteries. Oh, honestly, and I'll be touching walls and fucking
flicking light switches on off and on.
Oh my god,
four times.
It just reminded me that actually there was a time when you and our mutual friend Steve decided to just take a week off school to play champ manager. And because your form teacher didn't give a fuck, so like no one questioned it, whereas mine was like obsessively fucking weird, so I had no chance. So I'd pop over on lunch, and I remember one time when we were all sat around playing it,
no, which one?
And the doorbell rang, and Chris got up, pressed pause on the CD player four times, turned the light switch on and off, and then ran out the room. He's like, your body knew it had to do something. It knew that the doorbell meant something, but you didn't stop to like connect the dots. It was like double clicking on an icon on your computer's not trying to search for where that icon leads. But instead of waiting for it to do it, you tried a bunch of other stuff first. Fucking absolutely brilliant. Anyway, yeah, I'm purging my inability to relax. It's shit. I really wish I could have it back. Right. So, we're going to do a bit on the internet's darkest confessions. You might think we've already been diving into that already, yeah, to be fair, right, because we've talked about enough shameful things already.
Today's show is brought to you in association with Threads for Reds. You've seen us wearing it. We know how good this gear is. They've just relaunched. The gear is absolutely top quality. You can get your Now You're Going to Believe Us t-shirt if you want them. We've obviously got the Champions of the World. Some massive sellers over the last year that these guys have as well. The Adidas Trabs one, six times, all that. They've got it covered. They're sponsoring the show. They're supporting us. Show your support for them by ordering from threadsforreds.com. Back to the show.
Anyway, there's a wonderful Twitter account that I stumbled upon called Fesshole, where people can effectively blind and anonymously post their deepest, darkest confessions. And the best ones get put up on Twitter. So what we're going to do is we're going to read through a couple of them, and because I think it's going to spark a few interesting stories anyway. And then we're going to set a challenge for the audience.
Yes.
Do you want to explain the challenge?
Yeah. So what I have then done is I have taken a load of these Fesshole tweets and interspersed them with maybe none, maybe one, maybe 10,
maybe all of them. Yeah.
Stories of mine that I want anonymity on, or do I?
Or does he?
And but you need to guess which ones, if any, are my stories.
Absolutely. Before we crack into that, if you're listening to this on a podcasting service or some description, whether it's iTunes or whatever, please do leave a 5-star review on what we're doing. It helps massively. We haven't really thought, you mentioned this the other day, like, I had a look at where we are on the podcast charts. I was like, oh shit, that's a thing. That's a good thing to be involved with.
We got up to 77.
Get in.
In the UK in sports.
Brilliant. I mean, for a non-sports podcast, that's pretty good going. So yeah, if you leave reviews, make sure you share it with as many people as possible. If you watch it on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, of course, as well. And yeah, really pleased with how it's going so far. And you know, join the MXP army. And that's really shit. I think it's something better than that.
MXP army.
Oh, no.
What have I done?
MXP army. Oh my god, no. Like, I might even have to cut that out. Okay, so I'm gonna start.
MXP army. MXP army.
I await with bated breath the audience retention figures on this podcast. It just takes a fucking nosedive. MXP Army, what was I thinking? Anyway, give us a better suggestion than something MXP that can describe all the wonderful people that compromises, the people who turn up week in week out and brave this shit. So the first one.
MX people.
When I was a kid, I ate raw bacon thinking it was a fancy type of ham. Ate a whole fucking pack. Fessel, I had a posh wank once. When I had finished it, I tied up the condom and put it under my bed. Weeks later, I found it. It was black inside like a rotting egg. Jeez. Why would you... No, that's fine. If I see anyone conducting a job interview in a cafe, I constantly interrupt them by asking for the menu, salt, etc. It's my way of helping the candidate see how unprofessional the company is. I saw this last... I don't know if you've got onto this. We had a meeting in the Trafford Centre.
Yeah, in the Costa.
Yeah, and there was an interview. I thought they were a couple at first.
Yeah.
So the girl was quite hot. And it was just another young, generic-looking fella, or boy, whatever. And I thought they were on a date at first, because it was... quite casual, they were dressed down, they're in the Trafford Centre during a daytime or whatever, and yet it becomes obvious that they're conducting an interview. What was it? Did it spark anything in you? Because there was one thing about it I thought was hilarious.
It didn't really remind me of anything, but the tweet did, so I'll talk about that afterwards.
I thought it was fucking hilarious because you got this lad, and it was the girl situation. I think she was acutely aware of the fact that this looks a bit datey, this whole situation, and the condescending tone in which she spoke to this young man, who's clearly her age or close enough that it shouldn't matter, and she was just doing this really saccharine, over the top, positive, yay you, that's an excellent answer, and it made me want to fucking vomit, because you're conducting your interviews in a public space. Go on,
reminded me of the time we used to go around following people on their driving tests out of the fucking test centre and interrupt their 3-point turns and stuff.
It's nothing to do with me.
It was a good game.
Yeah.
If you were a little bit bored, you'd drive up to Garston, you'd wait for them to come out, and you'd just follow them fucking round.
That's brilliant. I had a long running thing with my cousin.
So you used to go round, so they'd do the 3-point turn, you'd go and interrupt it, and then they have to start again.
Yeah.
So you'd go round the block and do it again and again and again. It was brilliant. That's until amazing. They gave up.
Oh my God. My cousin had this running thing. There's a bit from Ace Ventura. Really trying to track down the Super Bowl rings, and there's a guy driving alongside. He drives alongside him and goes, "Hey, buddy, why don't you learn how to drive?" Woo! Woo! And we'd had this running joke for years that my cousin was going to do this to me on a driving lesson, and did. Absolute asshole. And I'm like a very new, nervous driver driving along 10-2. All that. This
is
our Neil.
Fucking 40 now,
isn't he? He's 40. He was 40 this week. Well. 40 years old. That's amazing. And he did. And he fucking waited for me. Because everyone used to start the driving lessons in the same place, round Sefton Park.
Yeah.
It's like a rite of passage. And he did. And he drove alongside and was like, woo! And I was just like, oh, that man. Oh, it's terrible. I was like, oh, I know. What an absolute arsehole that person is. And I was like, oh my God, just fucking go away. It's not funny.
Blood of my blood.
Yeah, honestly. Oh my God. Absolute fucking knobhead. Right, so.
Brilliant.
When someone dies, I go straight to Wikipedia to add some inconsequential lie like born in Wigan, or keen supporter of women's athletics, or inventor of soup in the hope that a newspaper runs it.
Brilliant.
I love that. I genuinely love it. My ex and I fell out. I said I'd sleep on the couch. Instead, I pissed in a kettle and left. That feels like page up behaviour.
No. No, I'm not that petty.
I've genuinely thought about it. Genuinely thought about this. Have you ever done anything as a vendetta?
I don't think so, you know.
That's
surprising. Can you think of any?
That surprises me. I've certainly thought about it a lot. I don't think I've ever been genuinely... No, I think... Maybe it'll come up in conversation. Maybe something will be sparked as I do one of these.
I don't think I've had a flatmate who was banging to that stuff. Like
that, it does remind me of a story. It relates more to a later one. I think I know the story, and we'll see. We'll see whether you're prepared to tell that one or not. When a microwave meal says "PS film lid" several times, I ignore it and just peel the corner back. Fuck it.
Oh, wow, he or she's living dangerously.
Living hard. After doing a poo, I will straddle the bath with one foot on each side and use the shower head to cleanse my bum hole. It's so dirty. You can see the flecks of poo in the bath, but it's a proper wash.
This is
my partner doesn't know.
Coronavirus and all that stuff. I know it's probably at this point it's gone really, really bad. But there won't be toilet roll, and toilet roll hasn't been around for that long, so we're going to have to remember how we used to fucking do stuff.
All of those middle class wankers with their bidets are going to be fucking laughing their clean bum holes and cocks off, aren't they, when the coronavirus hits. They will. Yeah. Have you got? You haven't got a B-day, have you?
No.
Cause just checking, I realised that I made a very strong statement, and I've got to be careful these days, haven't you? Don't you just hate people who are like this, and then you look down and you realise you're talking about the person facing you? That's right, though. They're going to be very, very, very happy, because let's face it,
the problem is that people have genuinely forgotten how we used to do stuff. Like toilet roll, it's not been around that long. There has been a good 2,000 years without people using fucking toilet roll. Why are we panic buying toilet roll?
Well, it's true, because people love, but bear in mind, like, Si used to work for us, didn't like the office toilet roll, so went out and bought his own quilted toilet roll to put in the box.
And then everyone used that, obviously.
And everyone used that.
It felt great.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was the other one felt like tracing paper.
It was like
paper.
Wiping your ass with silk. It was fantastic. But no, it's, and you go to Turkey, or you go to Middle Eastern African countries, they have the toilets with the little taps on them, which I'm like, I'm sorry, but I'm not touching a fucking random tap down the fucking side of a bog, because side of bogs are fucking horrendous. But they've got signs going, don't put toilet tissue down the bog. And I go, you want me to put a shitty toilet tissue in? No, they don't want you to use toilet tissue at all. It's like the toilet tissue is basically there as a courtesy, isn't it? For us weird English people who apparently use toilet paper. Yeah, we're all going to have to get used to washing our bums.
We're going to have to all grow moss and use that to clean ourselves.
I found out my husband looks at porn when I'm at work. What he does not know is I was paid to post for a granny porn website last year.
Interesting.
What would you do if you discovered a family member on a porn website? After
the honest answer or the answer that I'm going to give on camera? Depends which family member.
I once took a dump in a park. My mate came to the park and met me later with his dog. His dog ate my shit and then licked my mate's face.
Brilliant.
This reminds me of a story.
Well, it reminds me of what we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, to be honest with you, in the old placenta patty. It's not too dissimilar.
It reminds me of a time when I was forced to take a shit in public. This is probably my deepest shameful moment, and I can laugh about it now, just about. So I was staying in a mate's house. This is when I was living in Sheffield. It was over in like Chapel Town, which was a good 20-minute drive or whatever away from our house, 25-minute drive, with clear roads. We came back in the morning at rush hour, and basically this main arterial road between his house and our house was just bumper to bumper, and I was clinging on for dear life. And you know what it's like when the moment arrives.
Yeah.
And you can stem the tide.
Only so long.
For so long. And there comes a point where it's fine, because you're getting the gripes and you're like, okay, I can cling on, provided I know that I'm only so far away. You start to sweat and you start to psychologically bargain with anyone who listen. I made a pact with God that day, that if he let me see through this, that I would be building churches and fucking all kinds in his honour. And we got to the top of this hill, and when you get to the top of this hill,
there's another hill.
You're supposed to look down, and you can see the run down to the roundabout, and you turn right to the roundabout, and then you're on the run home. It's doable. We got to the top of this roundabout, and all it was just nose to bumper traffic as far as the eye could see. I'm round the corner, and I broke, and I mentally broke, and you're left with a number of choices in this situation. You can just shit yourself.
Pick one. It's not the first thing.
No, God. As far as like the sliding scale of solutions go, that's worst case scenario. Shitting yourself. Shitting yourself in your mate's car is probably worst case scenario.
I don't know. Shitting yourself just outside your mate's car in a traffic jam, yeah, probably slightly worse. But.
So. And he turns to me and he thinks this is fucking hilarious, obviously, by the way.
Because he's a good mate.
He was a fucking gobshite, and he hated me and I hated him, but we tolerated each other because we shared the house. And he goes, bear in mind, this is like 10 to 9 in the morning. So there's no pubs open. There's no cafes open. This is like early noughties when 24-hour things didn't exist, and least of all in Sheffield. So there's nowhere to go, no public toilets. He goes, why don't you try that bank? And so it must have been 9 o'clock, sorry. So I ran over to this HSBC bank, And I was like,
can I have a poo?
Can I use your toilet?
The bank. The fucking bank. The bank. Yeah. They're in the back, mate. Do you want to help yourself?
Yeah,
do
someone here as well.
Yeah. Maybe wipe your arse with a 20.
Come in through this, these heavy security doors and through, through the, all the.
There you go, mate. Have a gun as well.
fucking why not? Absolutely. So needless to say, they rejected my request for access to their toilet, and I pleaded. And
hey! Let me into the fucking toilet now!
And I run in and get you. Give us access to all your bug roll. That's coming, by the way, in our day-to-day lives. So yes, they rejected my request. Bearing in mind that this is a bank that gave me a ludicrous amount of overdraft in my time. You know, if they denied me my overdraft, I probably wouldn't have been out and then wouldn't have needed the shit.
It's their fault.
It's HSBC's fault. So anyway, so I'm like, oh my God. So there's a couple of bars and things that are all shut, and like there's nothing, there's nowhere. And I'm like, so I'm at this point, I'm just running round. I basically said the fucking castle walls are coming down here, Chris. Yeah. You know what I mean? The storm and the gates. You know, it's like anything. The only way I can describe it is like, have you ever been hanging off something, and you're hanging on, and you've got your grip, and there's called the limits of grip, basically, where eventually you can only hold on for so long before, as much for all the will in the world, you would hang on forever. So you're hanging off a cliff. If it was up to you, you would hang on for all eternity, but your muscles will only allow yourself to be at that level of strain for so long. And that is where I'm at, where no amount of will in the world is gonna, no clench, me power of clench is gone.
The Stargate is opening.
Absolutely. And Kurt Russell is coming through. Kurt Russell and the SG1 team are coming through no matter what I say or do. So I'm at this point now, and I'm reminded of a famous like 60s Batman thing where he's got this bomb and he's got to find somewhere to get rid of this bomb, and that's where, and there's no good places to put a
bomb.
So
you run left a bit, you run right a bit, you run back a bit, and then you realise you're still stood in the same spot and you've not gone anywhere.
I'm looking for somewhere, and I find and I see like this office building. So I run alongside, and like, bear in mind, it's like glass windows, and there's people working away on computers, tapping away on the computer screens, and I find like an alcove, basically, that's got like an emergency security door. It might lead through to like a electrical room or whatever, but it's just out of sight enough, and I go, this will do, this is secluded enough a spot that this will have to do for me. Bear in mind, at the time, this is when I've got long hair, I've got my big, it's been referenced before,
leather
three-quarter leg trench coats, I've got my big jeans and all that on, my steel toe cap boots, which are full-on fucking lace-up jobs. But I can't think about that at the time. It's down trow, and it's making sure I don't shit on myself. So I've got my back against the wall. I don't think I can demonstrate this in here, but like, so I'm effectively...
Are we the wall?
Back against...
Okay, are we the wall?
Yeah, okay.
Come on, stand next to me.
Back against the... I'm having to...
Kind of, my ass is too big for this.
But anyway, I'm having to like back against the wall and get my feet out far enough away from the blast radius, which I do, and it all comes out in a moment of it's an almost like orgasmic pleasure at this point to finally let go and release, and I'm able to like, and there's the moment of pure relief is followed mere moments later by the sheer panic of realisation of my situation, because I've solved that problem, but I've now faced with a brand new set of problems. This is like 24. This is like Jack Bauer has managed to, you know, to procure the nuclear device, but he's got a fucking nuclear device and he's only got 24 hours in order to... So I'm there, and it's like walking in on yourself. And I think we've probably all had this moment in masturbation in our lives or something. Where
I'm nodding.
Yeah.
I don't know what's coming yet.
Yeah, where you do, there's just that moment of realisation of where you are and what you've done. And I am all of a sudden half naked, hovering above an explosive shit with my pants around my ankles in the middle of Sheffield city centre. With lace-up shoes on. So I've got nothing to wipe with. I have to undo the fucking laces on my shoes. So in order to solve this problem, I have to take off clothes is what I'm driving at here. So this isn't a problem that immediately gets better. It's a problem that has to get worse first and foremost.
How were you with the jeans? Like, were you able to give them up?
So I had to. So what I had to do was I had to unlace, while still in this balanced position, unlace my shoe, drag them off my feet because they're big fucking things, get me jeans off, get me bills off, wipe my ass with my boxies, which solves that problem. Lash them, get me jeans back on, get me shoe, relace me shoes, and of course, there's a ticking clock on this. I've not, you know, there was a point where I had to give up considerations like someone might see me because there was nothing I was going to do. I had to just handle the situation.
You must have had a hoodie on.
I will have had a hoodie on as well, and I then got to, because again, it's all these points at which it's like being a cat burglar. It's very well good that you've not tripped the alarm systems and you've got the Hope Diamond, but you've still got to get out of there without being caught. And at that point, I've got to do, and I managed to clean up sufficiently.
One size fits all seems like a good idea for clothes until you try them on. Same goes for healthcare. That's why United Healthcare offers flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. Learn more at uh1.com.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous 2-year contracts, they said, "What the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass?" So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
To get back to the car, I managed to find my mate who's graciously pulled in somewhere to wait for me, he just sat there with this fucking massive grin on his face, like, what did you do?
We're not talking about it.
And I had to go home. I went home, had a shower,
I couldn't
look myself in the eye for a very long time. Absolutely, the most cast. Life is a bit like Slumdog Millionaire, and you know how you're at any given point in your life, and you can trace back your behaviours to a point. And I have a deep rooted anxiety of being stuck in traffic and needing the toilet and not wanting to have that situation.
I remember
to me
I did
again.
Something nowhere near as bad, but it was I think I'd just left school for the day, and obviously Pi used to live fairly close to school, and I needed a shit, and I was in the same situation as you, where it's coming. So I ran up to Pi's house, and there was no one there, and I was like, oh my god.
And this was your oasis in the desert.
Yeah, so I knew where I was going, and then it wasn't there. It was taken away from me, and I don't know what Pi was doing or whatever. Probably wasn't home or whatever. And I was like, I know these fucking roads, and there's alleyways behind. I'm laughing here. So I'm absolutely sound. I just run into the alleyway, get myself against the wall, exactly what you did, right up against the wall, pants down, no messing around. And I open my eyes, and of course, I've got my back to the wall, and the houses behind me can't see, but every fucking house with a back window has just fucking basically got a nice clear view of me, just like, ah. And then I open my eyes, I was like, oh my god, there's like fucking 20 windows looking down on me, what the fuck, like. And I just fucking wiped through the boxes. And the thing that I found really funny is that it curls up like a dog poo.
Like a Mr. Whippy,
because I'd never seen it. It just goes in water and you forget about it. So I then became a little bit obsessed by, oh, look at that. And then I was like, no, stop, get out of here, Chris. Stop looking at your poo.
The postscript to this is, of course, those alleys weren't cleaned. and that poo sat there and rotted for.
It went white.
You're, I mean, if anyone who's growing up now in Liverpool or major metropolitan cities wonders why all the alleyways are gated, that's why. To stop people having poos, basically. But it was there for ages. It was like, but it became a bit of like a teenage funny point of pride. Look, there's my poo. There's my poo. Let's check my poo.
Got a flake in that now. It's gone white.
And while we're on it, I remember it sparked another one. There's a mate of ours, and we won't name him because it's not fair.
No, yeah, we're not going to name Robin.
But he once we had a mate. So we were all at a mate's house, and we never really thought anything about this lad. Spent an awful lot of time in the bog. And then we went out to town and no one thought anything of it. But then the next day, our mate's dad saw something out of the bathroom window. And basically they had a flat roof just outside the bathroom window. And they found a pair of shitty undies on the flat.
But the thing is, right, the mad thing about all this is, he must have known there was a flat roof. He must have known he was thrown outside the window. Because what was under the flat roof? The flat roof was the fucking porch. So under the porch was the car or the driveway.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So best case, it lands on the flat roof. Worst case, he's thrown it outside the front door.
Yeah. It was fucking. Well, it was the bog was the back of the house.
No,
or was it the side? It was the side of the house. Yeah, I've never understood what. And again, the things that we do. And also, moments of panic.
And also, he was in the fucking toilet, so he shit himself in the room with us and then gone in.
Yeah, and
it's the only explanation. Otherwise, he'd have pooed in the toilet.
But he just
and they did have a bidet.
But I love the idea. Oh yeah, it's true. I love this notion of,
was it pink?
What,
the bidet?
I don't know.
Pink bathrooms were a thing back.
Yeah, they were like taupe coloured stuff. But like this notion, we just decided to solve this problem. That is a short term solution.
The next part of that was, I'll climb back later when we come back from town. I'll get a ladder from my mum and dad's, and I'll walk the 3.5 miles over here, and I'll get up there, and I'll fucking retrieve them, and my ma's gonna wash them for me, and I'll have them back on tomorrow morning, and no one will know the wiser.
A Columbo like. Who shit themselves?
Yeah, like, mate. I've got me fucking hands up, there, like.
Right, lads. Listen, hands up. Who shit themselves and threw the bills out on my mum and dad's roof? And it mercifully, yeah, it was a process of a deduction that it was none of us, so it had to be this lad. Bless him. Anyway, I regularly deface cash points to charge for withdrawals with a permanent marker, putting directions to the closest free machine. The parasitic operators can eat shit. I quite like that. Funnily enough, there's a lot of these stories that spark a lot of like toilet memories of this. So where we used to live, a lot of stuff centers around this pub. A mate of mine, I think this was the time when we were living together, and we used to work in this pub, and there were two cash points right next to the pub, basically one on either side of the corner of this road. And we were leaving the pub at the end of the night, bladdered as you were, and for some reason I needed to get cash out. And my mate thought it was hilarious to piss on the cash machine. Mm-hmm. So we pissed on the nearest cash machine, so I couldn't use it. So then he needed money as well, so I don't know why he did this. So I ran across the road to the other one, got me money out, and then pissed on the cash machine, so then he couldn't use it. The next day... both of these cash machines are out of water. And I'm working behind the bar, and everyone keeps coming in to get cash back. So for like fucking a week, these two cash points, which is like the cash points for the local area, are completely out of order because they're soaked with urine, and people are coming in and having to, can I get cash back? And you had to buy something.
You spent over a fiver.
But over the week, we ran out. We started with matches, so you had to buy a 15 pence book pack of matches, and then all the matches sold out, and then it was Rizzler, and then gradually over the space of a week, all of the cheapest items in the pub all sold out because people had to.
Brilliant.
It's a deeply shameful moment, that, like, deeply, deeply shameful, but true. Nevertheless, don't piss on cash machines, kids. So, once again, I once peed out of the window of a Volkswagen Golf GTI whilst it was going 90 miles an hour. All of it went into the face of the backseat passengers.
I've done similar things without yawning and stuff like that.
I learned a lesson that once with a bottle of, trying to, I had no liquid in my windscreen wipers, and I was driving back home to university,
and it was a fucking horrible day, and you had all the salt on the roads, so my visibility was gradually getting worse and worse and worse and worse, to the point where I couldn't see. And this is the thing, now, if I couldn't see out my windows, I'd stop and I'd sort it out, because it's fucking dangerous to be driving at 80 miles an hour when you can't see. But I was a moron, so I didn't. So my only solution to this problem was I had a bottle of Lucozade Sport, which I reached out of the window and squirted, but I'm driving at 80 miles an hour, and the reason this happens to this person is just momentum and physics are all it wants everything to go in that direction behind you. So basically I ended up with a 2-inch segment of the top corner of my windscreen clear, and my arm and the entire inside of my door covered in fucking Lucozade.
So me and Joe, I mean, you were the same. We used to obviously mess around as you're driving somewhere, especially in two cars and that. And one of the ones that Joe did, which was, he just got me, it was brilliant. Like, we were fucking around and I was throwing stuff on his car and he was throwing stuff on mine, and we'd just been the Subway, and he had a fucking 6-inch. It was Joe, wasn't it? Wasn't you?
No, it wasn't me, no.
Yeah, it was Joe, yeah. So he had like a fucking 6-inch steak and cheese with fucking Southwest sauce or whatever it was. And I've got him, and he just fucking lashes his entire Subway out the fucking window, and it splatters all over me fucking windscreen as I'm driving. And I'm like, oh, the bastard. So I just turned the windscreen wipers on, nothing and anything about it, and just spread this orange Southwest sauce, steak, lettuce and fucking tomato all over my windscreen, and I have to pull over because I've got no water and it wouldn't work anyway, and clean my windscreen as he drives off into the distance pissing himself laughing.
He got me big time. Absolute bellend.
There was another one. We were driving down the high street, and we obviously both smoked back then, and I'd gone, give us a ciggy. So I pulled up next to him and I had the window open. He threw the ciggies in and I lit up, and then we're driving about 30 down the road next to each other. I go, Joe, and he goes, yeah, ciggies. And he's like, yeah, go ahead. So I throw them, and I think not having to speed up and go on, and we get into town where we're going, and he goes, what the fuck are you doing, lad? I'm like, what? He's like, you tit, I have both windows open. They went to the other fucking side and he lost 18 ciggies.
Is that the bullet going straight through?
Brilliant.
That's amazing.
I had no idea I'd done it.
That's fucking brilliant. Absolutely brilliant. I like this one. I've never once meant it when I ask friends, family, or anyone at all how they are. I genuinely don't care. I do it because it makes them think I'm a nice person.
Right, mate. Yeah, yeah.
It's honestly, like, I have me times and stuff. I find myself, I used to love the art of conversation. It was one of my favourite things, just talking to people all day long. Working in pubs, I could have a conversation with anyone. It was like a talent. But now, you're about some fucking bullshit small talk. And I know your time. You don't suffer fools gladly. It's actually become almost a sport. I enjoy watching your reactions when you're in conversations that you can't be asked. Because you're a lot shorter than I am. It's weird, because I think... You are fundamentally a nicer human being than I am, but you're also a bigger
more abrasive, shall we say? Yeah. At the same time,
yeah.
I think that's totally fair, to be honest with you.
I don't think anyone likes anyone really, do they? Here's one as well. I don't know if you've experienced this. I've been added to the group WhatsApp chat in my new job. I post gifts and happy messages, but in reality loathe them and can't understand why they want to message each other outside of working hours, even on Christmas Day. I'm not in too many WhatsApp groups. I don't mind. I actually quite like our work one, but I do find, as I've been in a couple of these situations where people like pretending to be friends with each other for no fucking reason, like the need to share gifts and posts and all that. I find very. I've got my friends. Anyone else got this experience? Let us know.
The WhatsApp group's a funny one because you've replaced fucking actual real relationships with digital relationships.
Yeah.
And I think there's been some studies done, hasn't there, over that, and maybe I'm getting a bit heavier from whatever, but whatever, that like if you ask someone our age whether you consider somebody on Twitter that you might message once or twice a week, are they a friend? The likelihood is, well, would you consider them a friend?
No.
So, but if you ask a 17-year-old the same question, or a 13, 14, 15-year-old, they actually would, because their relationships are built digitally.
It's a good point, actually. So my sister's like this. There's 8 years between us, and she relays conversations that she's had with people to me, and she fills in the blanks in the emotional side of it. And then I realise after the fact that it's all been conducted in WhatsApp, and I'm like, you've not had an actual conversation with them. You've just messaged them, and that's a generational thing. I would never conduct any
WhatsApp business on WhatsApp. No, because for starters, even Twitter, WhatsApp, whatever, text form doesn't have the same. It's just impossible to have the depth of a conversation where you can look into somebody's eyes, when you can speak to them, when you can see the reactions, you can hear how they're talking. Emojis don't fucking cut it.
You get to gauge. You can make the conversation whatever you want it to be in text. Whereas to be able to do that in real life, you can't hide what you really think or what you really feel. And I use this example. This is why I feel sorry for people who are dating now, who are just starting out in the dating world or have grown up in this dating world. Because, like, the amount of dates I fucked off via text because I couldn't be asked. Or I was, you know, it was someone I just wanted to go and have a fucking quickie, and you'd have a wank and you're done, and you fuck someone off for it. That's what it's like to be a boy. And I know all this, but now we live in a world where these whole relationships are constructed via text message. It's no wonder everyone's dishonest and fucking pulls whatever. And you can have loads of these on the go at one time. I don't get the Tinder generation. I don't understand it. But how could I? But it's mad because it's just. Via text message. I mean, maybe it makes it easy in some regards because there's a ways. It becomes a puzzle. It becomes a game.
It doesn't make it easier at all. It makes it a fucking head fuck because you can't possibly know how you'll feel about somebody until you fucking met them and you've spoken to them and you've fucking been close to them, because you can't have a relationship without touching a person. That's impossible.
I think there's an important lesson. I'm randomly thinking this before, is that nobody is as attractive as they look on social media. Not a single person. And people can might be able to throw, well, such and such. I'm not saying there aren't beautiful people, but nobody is attractive because, this is the thing that you get working in the in TV and film and stuff, some people photograph really well. And it's mad because and there's a science behind this, and I'm kind of like skating over it a touch, but because an image flattens your face, and some people look better than 2D. So some people look great on camera, and some really attractive people don't look attractive in photos, and some people who aren't really attractive look dead attractive in photos. And again, and this is not
but
before we get into the.
It doesn't even fucking matter to start with, because it's all fucking bullshit. And it's all fucking,
and that's before we get into
all
this.
All fucking fake.
Yeah.
Nobody's putting out on Instagram the fucking. The shit that actually goes on in real life. And if they are, they're dead popular fucking influencers now because they're just fucking real. Yeah. And the mad thing is, for me, you look at what we had growing up, or what people our age might have been doing. Maybe they were girls, maybe they were boys. They were looking at magazines, right, of these fucking celebrities. And I'd be looking at it going, why are you fucking doing that? Like, why did you give yourself that? What we've actually managed to do now is make everybody a celebrity with social media. And so actually, all your friends' Instagram stories, you're getting the same fill as Hello Magazine used to give to those people fucking 20 years ago. And you're living your life vicariously, because we just want information as a fucking human being. That's all we want. But what we don't realise is we're just getting false fucking information. We're eating it all up like it's fucking gorgeous, three-course fucking dinner, when it's not. It's fucking shite that's been fucking polished up, served up on a fucking platter, and we're there stupidly just shoveling the shit into our mouths. Forget it fucking all. Yeah. Forget it all, it's all wank.
All we used to have to contend with was the occasional Wonder Bra, which would leave you in a situation that you didn't. Girls would, that's why I feel horrendously sorry. And but unfortunately, the way the world's gone, lads have now got this now. You know, there's a pressure to be, and I feel it. I've spent thousands on getting my teeth straightened and eventually whitened. I've been spending money on exercise. Now, there's a degree to self-improvement, which I think is absolutely fine. I think it's a natural thing.
Do you feel better for him?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So there's that. But there's every girl.
Do you still have the same insecurities as you had before?
I think you can become more resistant to them. So it's why I always say, like, if there's something that there's an insult that knocks you flat, then if you can do something about that, if you can guard yourself against that, great. So like things like weight insecurities and stuff like that I've had since a kid. So that was always something that, from bullying in school, that would always stop me dead in my tracks. And it stops you from having a being able to banter back. When someone pushes an actual button, it can knock you dead off. So if you can get rid of that, if you can get that out of your life, that's a positive thing. But the thing I find now is, like I say, every girl's got the same face now. They've all got this, like, this plastic coat of makeup on the top that they've got, and the lip fillers and the fucking all this and that, and it becomes, and then now you're living in this digital world where you're putting these images out of yourself for whatever reason, whether they're doing it to make yourself feel good or you're doing it to attract someone or for whatever your reason it is. But you then find, like we had the other world where a girl would wear a push-up bra and then you find out that the breasts weren't that big. Oh well, whatever. But now fundamentally, like you're making yourself look completely different. Like the person you're seeing on this picture, they don't look like that. And then you're surprised by our relationship.
Take the makeup off. Take fucking strip it all back. That's the person that you're falling in love with or that you fucking like. That's the person that you've got to get to know. Well, not the fucking image they're portraying.
Well, there's a girl I used to live with who had a false eyelashes on, and her boyfriend, on and off at the time, whatever, had never seen her without them. It's not your eyes. You've got to see it, you know what I mean? See at some point. Is it just that you just, is it like when we've all done this, you maybe pretend to be more interested in stuff to get yourself in through the door until you pass the disposable stage, and then you're in, and then you can start to reveal all your madnesses. We all do that. But this is like the levels to which that's been built out to all kinds of stuff. I think it's fucking
batters my head. I'll tell you what, Aubrey's got a really good way of dealing with like Instagram and stuff, because I laugh at the way he does his three little, every Instagram picture Aubrey used to do Redmen with us will do his three little fucking pictures, and there's always like the sign of where he is, and it's really interesting because I went to a gig with him on Sunday. He logs into Instagram right then and there, posts it and logs out again, and all he's doing is keeping a digital photographic diary for himself.
Yeah.
So it's where he's been in a couple of shots, and that's a fucking brilliant way of doing it. And his Instagram, because he never looks at, he never opens it up to see how many likes he's got or anything. He opens it up and he leaves himself logged out and just logs in to do it, because it's just for him.
Yeah.
That's a fucking great way of doing it.
I've started treating Facebook like this, where by and large, it's just because I only go on Facebook. I go on Facebook, and because of the way it's begun, I don't really see a lot of my friends post on there, because I accepted, there was a day in the early days when I accepted every friend request going. So there's a lot of people who I've maybe met once or whatever on there, so I don't treat it in the same way. Yeah, I know. But it's the On This Day stuff that I use it for. I enjoy, what was I doing a year ago, 2 years, five,
make
five
cringe,
years
I used
ago?
To write.
Yeah, but the first person, second, third person perspective stuff.
Yeah,
because it used to be Paul's. You used to have your name first at the start of every post, which doesn't now make sense. It's like so many posts start with apostrophe S. Yeah, it's funny as fuck. I've deleted a lot of that shit. But no, I enjoyed. Because for that same thing, that's boss. Being able to remind it of like what stages your kids are at, like the video, we're seeing video reminders of, because you don't, they sit on a hard drive or they sit on whatever. I enjoy it from that, but you're right, it'd be able to, I should just log out and log back in again. That's a good notion. Anyway,
it's all bullshit, by the way, but from what I'm saying, because I believe in what I'm saying, and yet at late at night I'll still be fucking scrolling fucking shite looking for that fucking shit information that gives me no fucking joy whatsoever.
Self-help is hilarious, because the people who often hand out the self-help are the people who often need it the most, which is fine. Everyone needs help every now and again. A friend wronged me at uni, so I froze one of my shits and cheese grated it all over his room.
That is fucking sick shit, that man.
That is levels above. Now, are you gonna tell the story about your housemate,
the CD one?
The girl in your last uni house who you hated so much.
No.
No, you're not going to tell it, or no, you don't remember it.
No, I don't remember it.
Whether it was you or your housemate or a combination of the two, decided to enact some, shall we say, pissy revenge on her bedroom.
Yeah, let's leave that one. I don't even remember her fucking name.
Yeah, you fucking hated her.
Oh yeah, pissed all over her bedroom. Ah shit, they're still on.
Yeah, so one day we'll delve into that one, but genuinely just, yeah.
Yeah.
Moving on.
I once passed out at a party because I'd smoked some very strong weed. I was dragged out into the open air, and when I came to, I said I'd passed out because I was diabetic and asked for a Mars bar.
Genius. Fucking munchied up.
Fantastic. I have two dogs and I'm on a bunch of dog Facebook groups. Every time someone posts about their dog dying, I snooze that person for 30 days so I don't need to read their self-pitying attention warning.
That's great.
That's fucking great. I love the fact that you got this is the thing. Like, I've got groups when it matters to me, but yeah, who's asked? I don't need to fucking don't know these people. I don't need to delve into it. I've had that in groups where you're in a group of people and they want to share some really miserable stuff, and it's like, I don't know you. I don't need, and my life's hard enough. I don't need your misery, the misery of people I don't know, fucking.
Are you telling me it doesn't fill you up?
Oh, yeah, Sian, for it. I have this, me and my wife have one of the fundamental differences between us. I take often great comfort and pleasure in the misfortune of others, and not because I like to see people suffer, because in various situations I can be made to feel better by knowing that other people's situation is worse than mine. And that sounds like I'm a terrible person, and I am, but a light-hearted example of this.
Well, you love slapstick comedy, don't you?
100%.
Pretty much your favourite.
Me and my mum are like this. It's like, if someone falls over, don't come looking to me for help until I've got all the laughs out of my system, first and foremost. I'm a bad person to be around when you get hurt, because I once...
Do you remember when your nail broke his ankle?
So there's two... Oh my God, I am going to hell. There's no getting away from this. So we were playing footy in the park, and I was about to cross it in, and my cousin was backtracking, and he stepped into a pothole, basically, in the ground, and rolled his ankle, and I ran the 20 yards between us and went, ah, in his face, and like, and I was just laughing me out, and he goes, "It's, I know that it's funny, Paul, but I think it's broken." Fucking tears. I had to walk away. I had to walk away. I couldn't, and his ankle was really
bad. So I'm gonna play you a video, and we'll put it into it, because I think your reaction could be really fucking wicked to this. So you just have to bear with me while I set this up and turn the fucking sound on and all this type of stuff. And you may have seen it before, but this is the exact type of shit that you love.
Yeah. He's so angry. Nice one, Jonesy. That is funny. No, I live for that shit.
We might have to cut that out for the podcast listeners, but fuck it, it's funny as fuck.
Yeah, we'll put the link if we can as well, so you can check out that on Twitter.
What a trick that is.
Oh my God.
They have absolutely had his pants down.
I'm genuinely bad for it. Like, the other one was when our mate's dad, we were playing five-a-side, and he's only little, bless him.
Oh, poor
Big Al. Big Al, bless him. And I ran, bear in mind, he was probably in his 50s at this point, and I'd have been early 20s at best, maybe late teens. And I burst past him, and I'm significantly bigger than him. Like, and I just
double his height.
And I elbowed him in the eye as I kind of shrugged him off. And it was no malice, it was just, you know, just one of those things that happened.
Just funny.
Immediately, this black eye come up. I couldn't look at him. So bad. I elbowed a friend's dad in the eye and he got a black eye, and I was helpless. I had to walk to the other side of the court, and it was like, you're a big fan of the notion of the giggle loop from Coupling, the BBC series, and that notion is, if you're not allowed to laugh at something, all it takes is a thought,
and it bubbles up inside you, and it builds up, and it builds up, and it builds up till it explodes out. And I had this, and I couldn't. Every time I looked at him, I'm a genuinely bad human being, and I can't even remember how I got to it. But I'm going to hell. I think it's fair. I think that's perfectly clear about that situation. Anyway,
have you got any more?
Let's do two more. Yes. I shoplift makeup items at the self-service till, just put them down with a heavier item and it can't even tell.
This is one out of your book, to be honest with you, Paul.
Now, I don't want to say that me and you used to steal Dunkin' Donuts from Tesco's in the early days of Red Men, but it's what happened. We were poor artists. It's not good. It's not good at all.
They weren't Dunkin' Donuts, so they won't be on to us. Don't worry.
Krispy Kremes. Shit. Anyway.
And you say me and you like I was a fucking accomplice.
You were?
Not only after the first time.
When you started doing it yourself. When you realised that no one clocks you in the self-service till you. Okay, last foot by nobody's least. I had a dalliance night with my boss. He thought he could feel my G-spot and I squirted, but it was a scar from a birthing tear and I peed on him.
Fantastic. Absolutely awesome.
Genuinely fantastic.
Right, so the second part then, I suppose, Paul, it's going to be a little bit shorter than the first, because the way that I'm going to do it, I've got loads of these thresholds. And as I mentioned at the start, I'm just going to read them. And it's down to the viewers to tell us who, if any of these are my stories, okay. Or there could be multiple, or there could be just the one.
Could be absolutely.
So I'm going to just read straight from my sheet. And what I've done is to make sure that no one knows, I've taken the words from the Fesshole tweets and copied them onto A4 so no one can get onto it. Or have I?
You're going to make some eye love to the camera.
My mates used to keep their used towels in the bath. I once pissed in the bath drunk. When I was a teenager, I tried fucking almost anything, including one year, the oven-ready but uncooked Christmas turkey's neck hole. It was cold and not quite slippery enough, but nonetheless I persisted and fired off into the stuffing. My mother's cooking was much complimented on later. Age 14, I came home to find my front door unlocked. I checked we hadn't been burgled and forgot about it. That evening, my parents said we had to talk. They had found my mum's underwear on the floor. I tried to explain, but to this day, they think I wanked over my mum's knickers.
No comment.
I once overheard my mum and dad having sex. I got up for a poo in the middle of the night. They started having sex whilst I was on the toilet. My mum got annoyed because my dad fell asleep inside of her. When I am feeling nostalgic and horny, I look up my old favourite porn sites from the 90s on the Internet Archive Wayback Machine. We used to bury our porn in the woods in the 90s. I've looked for it when roaming those woods, but never found it.
What woods was it?
Chilwell. When I worked in a hotel, an actress was staying there, so she went to work. I once wanked in her bed. My mum walked into my bedroom without knocking first. She caught me mid-wank. I said, I was just thinking about you. There was a girl at work nicknamed Sick Note, and she was always ill. We used to stamp on her food prior to cooking it. We realised after a while why she was always sick. Our cleaning lady has been cleaning our house for 8 years. We exchanged lovely presents at Christmas. I know about her son and her grandchildren, but both me and my wife have forgotten her name, and there seems to be just no way we can find out.
I fucking hate that situation. Hate it.
Leaving a party drunk, I pissed back through the letterbox. When I heard someone coming down the stairs to the front door to confront me, I put my drunk friend in front of the door, walked round the corner and shouted, "Stop pissing through the letterbox." He took the rap.
This reminds me of the porch sick story.
Similar, isn't it? Mm. I used to use my granddad dying as an excuse to get out of doing stuff.
got to resit my first year at university from it and got my tech teacher to build my GCSE project with it too. When I was 11, I was throwing snowballs at traffic. We smashed the lorry's windscreen in. Prior to this, the same thing happened in a park and they drove in and caught my mate. He knocked on my mum's house 2 hours later after being abducted and beaten up. A friend asked us all to vote for a baby in the local paper's best baby competition. Her baby was not the best. So I voted for someone else's. At home, I urinate sitting down. I'm a man, by the way.
Which of any of those are genuine confessions from our very own Chris Pajak? Let us know if you're watching on YouTube in the comments section underneath. If you're on the podcast, tweet us.
Maybe none. Maybe all of them.
Maybe none, maybe all. At MHXPayJack on Twitter. Get involved. Tweet in right now with which of those, if any, or all, you think are genuine confessions from Mr. Chris Pajak and which are simply taken from Fesshole. Outstanding. You showed me a couple of them beforehand that I recognise a couple of them, but you've added more, and I'm now wondering whether you've added more of your stories or whether you've added more Fessel ones. I there's a few there which I don't know. I genuinely don't know. I don't know, but I've
always been a big fan of Christmas dinner, mate.
Fucking hell.
That's amazing. Right, okay. Let's see. Okay, we're going to do... We haven't got too much in the way of life advice. If you want us to give you some life advice, use the comment section underneath on YouTube. Or again, you can email mhxpajak@gmail.com.
That's mhxpajak@gmail.com.
If you want to do some confessions as well for us to do in the future as well, we might make this a bit more of a regular thing if you enjoy it and you want to remain anonymous, you can. We won't. If you tell us not to tell your name, we will absolutely keep it to ourselves. We promise 100%.
We did that 2 weeks ago.
We did it. We did it. It went really well. We did get people asking us a lot of stuff, and we don't want to get too much into it. A lot of coronavirus stuff, which we're going to have to be careful with because the whole world could be a zombie nation by the time this comes out, so we need to be too careful with this. JT1982 James did say, if the coronavirus ends up cancelling the league, how can we deal with it? Seeing Gary Neville open another champagne bottle would be too much to take. I've become such a selfish prick that football has become my primary concern over this, and it genuinely shouldn't be. But that's how, again, I've already admitted I'm going to hell. We've all come to the conclusion we're all fine, that I'm going to spend all eternity rotting in hell. So me having this opinion is not going to change that one way or the other. I would like Liverpool to just have the league sewn up before anything else happens.
Well, they can't take it away from me.
Can't take that away.
Yeah. Mate, Liverpool have won this league. Just not yet, unfortunately. Not yet. But we have absolutely fucking won it.
Were laughing and joking it off the other week, going, it'll never happen, blah, blah, blah. And now it's very much, there's a good chance football and the Premier League will at least be playing behind closed doors by the time this comes out. But yeah. Anyway, before we wrap up, is there anything... anything you want to talk about? I want to just draw attention to the fact that I was at Comic Con in Liverpool last week. Got to interview the Green Ranger, which was some people would be like,
Tommy
Oliver.
He was the White Ranger.
He was the White Ranger as well. He was, and I'm sure countless other Rangers, but there was a very small window of my life when I was probably still too old to be watching Power Rangers, when I watched Power Rangers, Mighty Morphin Power Rangers.
I used to pretend not to like it because my brother liked it because he was three years younger, give or take. So I'd be like, not the Power Rangers again.
Hello, Pink Ranger.
Amy Jo Johnson. Hello, Kimberly. How are you doing, darling?
Amy Jo Johnson, I think, is absolutely, absolutely... But I did have this conversation with my wife, who went, was the Pink Ranger there? I was like, easy.
That's exactly what Chris said.
Yeah, absolutely, fair play. What was interesting to note on that is that I was hoping to get a few more interviews, but I got the interview with...
with Jason David Frank. It was brilliant. We'll put that up on the YouTube channel and probably on the podcast thing as well. Not a massive one, but quite interesting. His page was good fun, but also him talking about basically people offering him out for fights because he's so hard that people are looking to take him down, and him basically saying to like to trolls online, "I will be in my dojo at 1 o'clock on this day. Bring it, just bring it." And him having to basically and him having a number of people who he's kicked the shit out of under
Box, like
yeah, absolutely amazing. So yeah, do go and check that. But one thing that was asked, the question of like the American Pie people were there, and the question that was often asked is, well, like, is Biggs there, or is it such as there? No, they weren't. Shannon Elizabeth, Shannon Elizabeth is still astounding. She's an astoundingly attractive woman still. That was one thing I took away from Comic Con.
I didn't have to go to find that out. Me and Tom googled it.
You just googled it. She's absolutely stunning still, which was great. And I point out as well, we were hanging around near the American Pie stuff, and again, once again, my wife goes, I was like, "Do you want to go and look at the American Pie people?" "Yeah." "Do you want to see if Shannon Elizabeth still fits?" Yes, I do. Yeah. And the answer is, yes, she is. She's great.
Who was your, like, when you were, like, sort of, I don't know, 15 years old, who was it? Who was the absolute pinnacle?
I'm trying to think.
Womanness?
There was probably around that period, because it blares into one, but there's a point where I was allowed to put, like, pictures of girls up on me wall.
Not to Wednesday's extent, like.
Not far off, to be fair. I had a wall of... It was just a wall-to-wall of beds, which was a bit much, like, but there was a few. It was like Pamela Anderson was the one when we were teenagers. She was like the global kind of superstar. There's a few others around there, around the Baywatch area, so like Yasmin Bleeth, Carmen Electra, Jenny McCarthy. But like at that point, I was a horny teenager. Anything like just boobs and stuff were great, weren't they? What about you?
Jet was there.
Jet was absolutely there from the Gladiators. Yeah,
Lightning as well from the Gladiators.
Can I?
Kelly Brook, Denise Van Outen, when the Big Breakfast was good.
Victoria Beckham, Chris.
Yep, massive fan of Victoria Beckham back in the day.
So there was a house that you used to have.
This is not a story for you to tell. This is a story for me to tell in my own time.
Okay. You did like Victoria Beckham.
I loved Victoria Beckham, Paul, and that's absolutely fine.
I'm not going to tell the story.
Good. What was your first wank? Who was it over?
Some porn, probably. I don't know. You?
I know, and it's terrible.
Really?
Yeah, it's fucking atrocious.
Is it a family member?
No, Christ, it's not that.
It's not that terrible.
It's not far off. It's not a family member. It's not someone that I know in real life, but it's a terrible, terrible choice for the first wank. I'll tell you off camera, and then you guys need to guess in the comments below who my first wank was over.
What would be a terrible first wank? Margaret Thatcher naked on a cold day.
Christ, what programme was that from?
It's Austin Powers.
Of course it is, yeah. Yeah, I'll tell you off camera, and I'll tell you that it was on me.
If anyone gets it right.
Edinburgh Bronze.
Oh my god, was it a friend?
No.
Okay, so that's fine. Was it a race?
No.
Okay, cool.
And there was no soggy biscuits involved either.
Massive. I don't know what guy. I have no idea what went on at Duke of Edinburgh, but I imagine there was a degree of sodomy.
not in my tent. I'm not saying there wasn't.
I'm not saying no.
Not in my tent.
I mean, it's named after the Duke of Edinburgh, like you mean, and they all kinds goes on in that family, don't it? Right, anyway, we're going to wrap the podcast up there. Thank you very much, everyone, for listening and for watching. If you haven't subscribed to the YouTube channel, subscribe to the YouTube channel. You can get us at MateXPajak on Instagram and on Twitter. You can email us at MateXPajak@gmail.com. You can follow us individually. I'm at the Paul Machin. Chris is at Mr. Blood Red as well. And yeah, if you want life advice, you want anything you want us to discuss on future podcasts, leave it in the comment section or again by tweeting in to us. 5-star reviews, as I say, always helps and all that good stuff. And make sure you check out threadsforreds.com as well. Wonderful, Chris.
Sensational.
Absolutely.
Campione del mundo.
Indeed. Thank you very much, everyone.
A picture of this woman.
Okay, brilliant. See you all soon. Nice one.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.